Okay, I always want to finish up today the minug of Pais. Just a few more short things about Pais. Mordechai HaYehudi, there's a medrash, it's a very interesting medrash, that Mordechai was Muchtar Bini Musin Hoya. He was crowned with Simonim. Everyone knew that he was a Jew. How can you tell that Mordechai was a Jew? So it's explained by a lot of the Mefarshim that when it says Muchtar Bini Musin, he had very thick Pais. It's very fascinating. I don't even think of Mordechai like that. And Mordechai, like everyone knew, Ish Yehudi Hoya Meshushan Habira, Shmo Mordechai. And when Achashverosh, when Haman came out, how come this person Lo Yichra Velo Yishtachaveh? This was Mordechai HaYehudi. And according to one of the Midrashim, what made him stand out to Haman and all of the other people in the palace of Achashverosh being a Yehudi was his thick chaos. It doesn't say that he had peyos that were curled, but that's a very interesting idea, which I don't think is well known. Okay, another idea about the finish up the idea of peyos. Only a few more ideas. Let's see. We spoke about everything I wanted to say. We said yesterday. Maybe I'll review it afterwards, just very quickly, summarize. Okay, even those that have payos, really we discussed yesterday, those that have payos, they have a minuk, some of them that when they daven, you remove the payos from behind your ears. Even those that do have payos, because as we mentioned yesterday, payos here represents din, and the ear represents the Kabbalah, ki atosh shoneat filas amcha yishol berachamim, and you don't want the hear to be in the way of the ear, because it is an equal of in the koyach of the Kabbalah of the tefillah. We're discussing the meaning of payas, to grow long payas. We really discussed 99% of this yesterday. I'm just tying up some loose ends. We really discussed yesterday that you have to remove the hear from the ear at the time of davening. There should not be any conflict. Okay, and now only two other very short things that I've got is that, what about cutting? Let's say those that do cut the payas. If you do cut the payas, how do you cut the payas? So believe it or not, this is very, I never heard this before, this is new to me, that those that cut the payas, don't take a scissor. It's like, it's Kodesh. Just like in the Beis HaMikdash, Lesonif Alehim Barzel, you're not allowed to use tools of metal in the Beis HaMikdash, because the Beis HaMikdash, the stones are meant to be Marich, Shenoisav, the Yom of Shal Adam. The Beis HaMikdash brings Arichas Yomim, brings peace between the Kodesh Baruch Hu and Klal Yisrael. And Barzel is the metal that's used as a weapon, and it's Mekatzer. You're not allowed to cut the stones in the Beis HaMikdash with tools of metal. So the question, how do you cut the stones? Either use in Bayis Rishon, the Shamir, a worm, or the Bayis Shein, they just don't cut on the premises. And that needed to be cut, had to be cut in the factory before you bring into the Beis HaMikdash, but you're not allowed to bring a metal tool into the Beis HaMikdash. So first of all, payas. First of all, do payas have such kedusha? So I did see over here in passing that there are many who learn that long payas is a segula. I don't know anything about segulas. Tarichas yamim. So then it makes a lot of sense that if it does represent arichas yamim, first you don't have to come on to that segula arichas yamim. It's kedusha. A davar shabbi kedusha. You don't lift up a tool of metal when it's not necessary. Comes to tefillin, you have no choice. You know, you're making tefillin, you have to go cut the parchment, you have to go cut the night, you have no. But when it comes to here, it's kedusha, the peyos harosh have kedusha, the corners of the head. So it's not proper to lift up a tool of metal, which is makatzer, yamav, ushnoi shaladam, a davar shev kedusha, especially when the enough peyos represent the roish, represents a davar shev kedusha. How then do you cut it? You burn it. You burn the payas. So when you want to trim your payas, you hold the payas and you light a match and you burn it off, and I guess you put it out before it comes to the part where you want it, you don't want it to go too close.
How about buying a sharp glass, a piece of glass?
I did not see that. I saw this. I it could very well be, but I saw here the aim is dafka to use fire to trim the payas.
Also the CCO, if it is long, you want to cut it.
Yes.
By glass, it says.
Okay, I did not see that here. Here it says the way it was cut, that some are very mock, but it's only to cut with fire, not to cut with... No, you have to be, you have to know how to do it. You have to go to an expert. You have to know how to do it, but not to use one. Okay, the other only last thing is that when the children, you inaugurate them to have their payas, when, of course, when they're 3 years old, that's the chalaka. Rashbi, Meiron, is the big thing is when the child is 3 years old, that's based upon the pasuk. The pasuk is, shalosh shanim yilachem arelim. The first, when it comes to a new tree, a tree, the first 3 years is Arla, and then the fourth year it's Kodesh LaHashem. A child is the fruits. A child represents the ultimate fruits of a person, and the male for the first 3 years are a limb. You don't touch them. You let them do whatever they do. And then when they become 3 years old, then they Kodesh LaHashem, and you remove their hair and you leave over. You remove what you really do when you're moving their hair. People think you make a haircut. That's not what it's about. When you give the child a haircut when he's 3 years old, what you're really doing is you're making payos. It's a whole different way. It's a whole different way to look at this celebration of the child's haircut when he's 3 years old. It's not that you're giving him a haircut. It's you're making for the child payos harosh. Even if you're not going to leave real thick payos, but the fact that you're cutting off the hair and you're not cutting down the payos to nothing, that's the celebration of the halakha that's done when the child is 3 years old. The making of payos, not the cutting of the hair. Okay, so let's just summarize very quickly what we learned. We're totally finished. Let's just summarize the basic. He said it's a payas from yesterday. The basic said it's a, first of all, I told you the joke. There are two different options. Do you let payas grow long or do you cut the payas? The two jokes are the two simanim are Eilu dvarim shein lachem shi'ur ha-payah. On the other side, it's kol hamarbe l'saper. Anyone that's marvet to cut, hareze meshuvach. Two different sides of the coin. The payos definitely have kedusha. There's no question about it. Are you allowed to cut them? So of course, the Nikra didn't. Most poskim say you're allowed to cut them. You have to leave over this teeny small amount. Where we eventually you could bend the tip of one hair to its root. Should you let them grow long? There are many minhagim. How long do you let them grow? The minhagim. Do you go down to the chin? Do you let it grow forever? Do you put them behind your ears? We mentioned yesterday that there are two different parts of the body which you do things to. The payos you do not cut. That represents the loisaseh and the orla. You remove on the body, two things are done to the body. You remove the orla, and you don't remove the payas. Removing the orla represents asay toiv, not removing the payas represents sur meira. Payas have a din of din, and the question is, what do you do with the payas? Let the payas grow long, big, long and mix with the beard is a problem, because the beard has its tafkid. The payas harosh has its tafkid. So you should not let them blend together. How do you prevent them from blending together? Either you curl them, you make them look different, or you put them behind the ears, or you tie it behind your head, or you tie it above in your hat. Why is it not such a good idea to put it behind your ears? First of all, it should be seen. Who are you hiding it from? What are you hiding your payas from? And number two, the ear is a contradiction to what the rosh. The rosh, the ear represents din, the ear represents rachamim. So what are you going and mixing din and rachamim? It's not necessarily a good idea to put it behind your ear. So these are different. So you put it behind your head, don't put it on top. So those are the basic. I think that's pretty much. Those are pretty much the sodos of the payas harosh, the inyan of minigras. Now let's go to a new topic.
One second, you were mentioning Arla.
Yeah. Arla. No, there are two different types of Arla. There is the bris milas called the Arla. Arla literally, right, in the context of bris milah, Arla means the foreskin. So in a person's body, there's something that a person should do to his body. He should remove the Arla, and there's something a person should not do to his body. He should not remove the payos of the head. Removing the Arla, the foreskin, it refers to Asay Tov. It represents all of the positive commandments. And not cutting off the payos represents all of the negative commandments. Then we also mention, when do you give a child a payos? When he's 3 years old. When he begins the fourth year of his life. When he concludes 3 years of his life and he enters into the fourth year, because of the pasuk that says Arla. Arla refers to another fruit. Arla, not on the body, but Arla fruit, which means the first 3 years pears of a new fruit tree, you're not allowed to enjoy the peros. You have to leave the peros alone. In the fourth year, you take the peros and you bring it to the Beis HaMikdash, neter revai. So a child represents the fruit of a parent. The fruit of a person are his children. The first 3 years, you don't touch him. You let the hair grow long. When he enters in his fourth year of life, he now sanctified. Just like you take the fruit from the fourth year and you bring it to the Beis HaMikdash and you eat it in the Beis HaMikdash in Yerushalayim, so to the fourth year of the child, which is your fruit, you sanctify him. How do you sanctify him? You put on tzitzis, you cut his hair, and you, by cutting the hair, you make for him peos on his head. Okay, so this concludes the peos rosh. Now we go to a new topic which borders on this idea. We'll just.
Why these days, not everybody has peos.
Not everyone has peos. I wouldn't say that. Sfardim typically don't have peos. Okay, let me tell you one other thing about peos. What?
Ashkenazim
also do have peos. So we mentioned yesterday that the stipler had peos. Yes, a lot of Ashkenazim have peos. Okay, some do, some don't. There are different customs, but it's not something which is unique. Only
here, nobody has here. We are
okay. So we don't. So I'm sure some of the people's here, children and grandchildren, have peos. Any of your grandchildren have children or grandchildren peos? Your two grandchildren? Mm-hmm. Grandchildren have peos. Your grandchildren. You see, everyone's grandchildren have peos. So what happened? Yeah. What happened to them? Okay, that's how it is. That's the way the world goes around. Okay, let's go to a new topic. The new topic is a beard. This all is an extension of the peos. Is there now? There's no question. Nikradin. Now I'm not going into halacha, and this is not a halachic topic. Halacha we do before. This is custom. Let's assume now the halach. Assume we're all clean shaven here. Look at that. Except for you, except for the Sephardi. Everyone here is not clean shaven because are you allowed to shave? Are you allowed to shave? Let me ask you: are you allowed to shave?
Completely.
Yeah. In Iran, they let you shave. The Rabbanim let you shave?
No.
Someone told me that there is no posek in the whole Eretz Yisrael. There is no posek in the whole Eretz Yisrael that says you're allowed to shave. They always put up signs. This for years.
This
sign is so old. I don't know why this someone is obsessed with this. They put up in the yeshiva this sign that it's also to shave Yehori Val Yavar, and it's signed by every godly ever heard of. And this is like a sign that this, the same exact sign with the signatures has been around for at least 30 years, maybe even more, maybe 40 years. And now I was shocked that someone even spent the money to put it in the Flatbush Jewish Journal. People have money to burn to go put this advertising Flatbush Jewish Journal. You think you're going to change the world by putting it in the sign? Everyone knows that if Moshe says you want to shave, everyone shaves, it's mutter to shave. All the Gedolei Yisrael supposedly say that you're not allowed to shave, even though they did shave, and even though their children shaved, and the grand. Okay, but whatever the case is, we're not.
Doesn't come in not to shave.
It's very common. The Torah says, Lasashkes. The Torah says. Right, we're not getting into halacha. The Torah says, Lasashkes pazikonech. You may not destroy the corners of your beard. On the beard, we have a tradition. There are five corners. We don't really know where they are. We don't know where many people say that the mustache is safe. So if you want to take a razor, go into Duane Reed and buy over the counter those razors and shave off your mustache with a razor, and they have cream also, there's a whole technique. Pashtus, it could be that it's mutter. Don't quote me on this, but it seems like if you remove the mustache with a razor, that you're not doing anything wrong. But you should be careful, because if you go a little bit too far, already you could be coming in contact with the part of the head which some poskim hold is already called the corner, one of the five corners. We do not know where the five corners of the beard are. Therefore, we have no choice but to refrain from taking a razor to any part of our face. Again, supposedly the mustache is safe, but no one's going to do that today. But now, but so that's a razor. A shaver is not hashchasa according to Rav Moshe, because a razor, when you cut, and I don't want to get sidetracked. Hashchasa is where you cut. When you cut, you need pressure. You have a blade, and you need pressure. If the other side of the blade is your skin, that's called hashchasa. The blade presses it down against your skin. When it cuts the hair, the skin is serving as the pressure point for the blade. That causes the hair to be cut so close to its source. That is called hashchasa. But when you cut in a scissor action, when the pressure point for the blade is another blade, so it's one blade against another blade, scissor action, according to many poskim, that is not called hashchasa. That's not called destruction, and there's no prohibition. So when you shave, how does shaving work? The blade is cutting either against a screen, or it's cutting against, basically cutting against the screen. The other part of the blade is the screen. You're not cutting up against the skin itself. That's the problem with the lift and cut shavers, according to some opinions, because some opinions say that when you do a lift and cut, the way they advertise lift and cut is that the shaver pulls. It's so powerful and so smart, it's able to pull the hair all the way into the shaver, and then the blade cuts against your skin. The blade is cutting against, using your skin as the pressure point against the blade, so then it's mamish hashchasa. Why then do many poskim say that you don't need to remove the lift from the lift and cut shaver? Because the advertisement is a lie. Can you imagine this? Really? It's a lie. There are many poskim that say you can use a lift and cut shaver because it's not shaykh, that the advertisement, the way they show in the Taz is true. False advertising in America, there are laws, how can they get away with this? They get away with it. The mamash, that's how the poskim, they hold that it's the advertisement is a lie. It's not shaykh that your hair is being plucked in. Okay, but there are, you do should know, there are many, I would say probably 90%, I don't say 90, 80%, I can't get nervous, but many posts can say that you should play it safe and you should take out the lift from the lift and cut. It's very easy, it's a piece of cake. You open up, they do a few in the store for you, if you don't want to do it, you do a few in the store. You take out the lift from the lift and cut, and everyone tells you, everyone I've spoken to says, who has done it the other way around, says they don't see any difference with the lift and with the lift, that was just a gimmick. It's a gimmick. The only ones that have, the ones that have a patent on lift and cut is Norelco. And there's no, I've had a lot of shavers over my career, and I can tell you, advertised, I'm being paid to say this, of course, that only buy a Norelco shaver. Do not buy any other brand. They're all junk. They're all junk. The only one that is a good, high-quality shaver, it's a good product. They're good quality products, the Norelco. But all of the Norelcos have lift and cut. It could be, like, someone told me the patent already expired. So it could be now that the other brands are also going to do the lift and cut.
We have some rabbis coming from Israel to my country to teach. They have some creams they put on the face.
Powder.
Remove.
Depilatory. Cream and powder.
Depilatory.
Right, okay.
That's a depilatory.
That's another technique. Okay, but all of these issues are halachic issues. We're not discussing halacha now. Halacha, let's make the assumption that it's mutar lechatchila to shave. Even so, it's mutar lechatchila. Is there a custom? Is there a minhag Yisrael to grow a beard? Is it the tsura of Yisrael to grow a beard? So the answer is definitely yes. Okay, I don't have a beard. I don't plan on having a beard. But definitely, there is definitely a custom. There's no doubt about it. There is a custom to have a beard. I first of the goyim also, until modern times is a very relative term, also had beards. How did it come about? So it's brought that in many svarim. Many svarim, they say that how did it come about that the goyim, the Romans, I don't know, was it the Romans? I don't know who it was even before that, even before the Romans, how did it come about that goyim, non-Jews, began to shave? How did the style change? There was a king. I don't know which country we were referring to, but there was a very popular king that was a Soros. He was unable to have, he didn't have male hormones. He couldn't have children.
In Iran, we had somebody. Oh, my, my turn about you.
What?
In Iran, there was a king that he was Saris.
A Saris, right? Yeah. And he did not, grow.
Very wicked and very ask.
Oh, he was very wicked. Ask. Whatever reason, as a way that the king should not be different. The king doesn't have a beard. He looks funny. Everyone has long beards, like you see in these old movies. And the king doesn't have a beard. So they made a decree. He was such a tyrant. I don't know the details. Everyone has to be like the king. The king doesn't have a beard, so everyone doesn't have a beard. Everyone has to shave off their beard in honor of the king. That somehow, that spread, that custom, that's how it started. It's brought down, a lot of Sfarim say the same thing. It started, and it became the custom among the Goyim to shave off the beard, and that minig never stopped. It's never gone back in some, maybe the 5 o'clock shadow is in style, but not more than that. 6 o'clock already, you have to shave. You have to. What? Today?
Yeah, running a series about the Civil War.
The Civil War? Really? Yes. In America?
Yes. 10 officers and 9
generals.
Really?
Yeah.
Very interesting. No, but that's way after. In Rome, they didn't have beards. Okay, but it's interesting though that we have to know history that the Muslim countries the Goyim, the Muslims had beards. The Christians generally did not have, so I've read, maybe I'm making a mistake, but what I've read, the Christians generally did not have beards. Now we all know that already for 916 years from the time of the First Crusade, the Christians had been at war with the Muslims. The Crusade versus Jihad. The First Crusade, the Gezeres Tatnu, going back the Kinnis, the First Crusade, the year 1096, which goes back a little bit before, from the whole, when all the unrest began. So for almost 1,000 years, the Christians have been at war with the Muslims. And who has been the collateral damage? The Jews. Because the Jews are always running from one to the other, and we get caught in the middle. When the Jews were under the protection of the Christians, it didn't happen too often, obviously. It wasn't necessarily much better by the Muslims. Sometimes it was, sometimes it wasn't, whatever. But wherever they found themselves, they were influenced by the Goyim. So when the Jews were living with the Christians they shave. So the Jews would shave. Imitated them. When the Jews were with the Muslims do not shave. They shave today? The real Muslims? I don't know what they do. In Iraq and Iran.
No, religious, no.
The religious don't.
No. In Iran, those who are working for the government,
yeah,
should have everything.
Would it be what?
They should have beard.
They should have a beard in Iran. In Iran.
And if they have beard, they have more beard.
And in Iraq, the Sunnis, the Shiites?
Yes.
The Sunnis and the Shiites, they have beards?
The Shia, yes.
Shia and Sunnis?
No, Iran is Shia.
Yeah.
The Shia, they should have.
They do have beards. And the Shiites?
Sunni,
no.
They hate each other.
They're not so religious.
They
went off the derech.
They kill each other. Bombing, this, that.
Doesn't make a difference if you have a beard or not. If you're dead, you're dead. Okay, but this is what it says in the books. When the Jews were living with the Muslims, the Muslims didn't have, they had beards, so the Jews had beards. Okay, we're running out of time, so we'll tell you one interesting thing, and then we'll stop, and we'll do more tomorrow. One fascinating thing is the Arch of Titus. Arch of Titus is a very interesting source for an insight into life during the time of the Churban Bayis Sheni, which goes back 1,942 years ago. The Churban Bayis, the Bayis was carved in the year 70. Now it's 2012. 1,942 years ago. We don't really have, we have records of the Gemara, Mamari Chazal, but the Arch of Titus somehow captures, it's a depiction of what it looked like, I don't know, supposedly, nothing is 100%, but it was made 1,900 and whatever, a little bit less, they made it a few years later, of the Churban Bayis Sheni. So we know there are trumpets, and there's the Shulchan appears there on the Arch of Titus. You go over later and look on Google, you'll see the picture of the Arch of Titus. There are trumpets, and supposedly it's the Shulchan, not even Clark. And there's the menorah, and the menorah is subject of a very, very detailed discussion of the menorah, what it looks like. It's round, it's not corners. Is it the menorah? Is it not the menorah? You can see the kaftarim, the gevios, the prochim. There are no legs. How come there are no legs? But let's focus on another aspect of the menorah. If you look at the menorah, go look on Google, look at the picture, you'll see it's being schlepped by a group of people. It's very heavy. Gold is very, very heavy. And a group of people are schlepping the menorah. And I always thought, in my great ignorance, I didn't really pay attention, who's schlepping the menorah? Roman soldiers. These are the Romans. The Romans schlepped the menorah all the way from Eretz Yisrael, all the way back to Rome. They got on the boat. They went down the Mediterranean. They stopped off and they brought the menorah and they were schlepping it. They were parading it back to Rome. The victory march. No. What I've read over here is the ones that were schlepping the menorah were the Jewish captives. The Romans are not going to go do the hard work. They're the victors. They're parading. The Jews, the captives, are schlepping the menorah at they'll be killed if they wouldn't do it in the street. Now these Jews don't have beards. Fascinating. Bayesheni, these are the captives, and the captives are schlepping the menorah the way they're depicted on the Arch of Titus. They don't have Jew. They don't have beards. How could it be they don't have beards? L'chayra. Again, we're discussing a minhag. Did they have a custom to grow beards in ancient times, the time of the Nevi'im, the time of the others have beards? Did Avram have a beard? No one can tell you this.
Yeah, we say Yirmiyah, they were taking
Oh, excellent. So Yirmiyah, we learn, they plucked out his beard. Excellent. So Yirmiyah, we know, had a beard, because it says they plucked out his beard. But did the others have beards? Did the Shvatim have beards? It doesn't say it anywhere.
Yeah.
It doesn't say anywhere.
How you say recognize the brothers and the young because you
Chasim HaZakon, excellent. Yeah. You're right. He's on the mark. Chasim HaZakon, they did not recognize Yosef. So we know that Yosef had a beard. When Yosef left his brother,
Egyptian cause?
What?
Was it because it was in Egypt?
So you're saying it was an Egyptian? We don't know. These are very big mysteries. We do not know. You're right. It does. But one thing we do know for a fact, that Yosef did have a beard, because he goes b'chasim hazokon. He had it says in Rashi, he had a beard. He has a tradition. He had a beard. And we know, like you just said, you know that Yirmiyah had a beard because they plucked out his beard. But other than that, we really do not. I'll bring you right from the time of David. That will do tomorrow. There's a radak. He brings a raya from a pasuk and pasuk that everyone had beards during those days. But the only thing we want to point out is the Arch of Titus, the ones that are schlepping the menorah, seemingly, nothing is certain. It could be the ones that are schlepping the menorah Romans, are not Jews. We don't know anything for sure. But seemingly the ones that are schlepping the menorah are the Jewish captives. And the Jewish captives are not depicted on the Arch of Titus with beards. So this is a very big question. Why not? We're dealing with the time of the Bayis Sheni. The Churban Bayis Sheni, 1,942 years ago. Where are their beards? So the answer they give is, you have to understand that there were many groups of people. There were at least three groups. There were the Prushim, and there were the... They, what were the three groups? They're the Biryonim, they were the rebels, and they were the Stokim, the Zealots, the Biryonim were the Zealots. The Biryonim, we have many Rios, were more modern, they shaved off their beards. And the ones that were carrying the menorah were the Biryonim. The Biryonim were a different group of Klal Yisrael that were not necessarily observant.
Amoretz.
No, Amoretz. They were different. Their customs were not mainstream. It was not, their conduct was not acceptable to the Prushim, to the Rabbanon, to the Talmidei Chachamim, the people that preserved the Mesorah the way we know it. And therefore, the fact that there are no beards on the people carrying the menorah is not a raya to the way, to the minhag Yisrael Saba. Because it's very likely, and there are proofs, that the people that are carrying the menorah, I don't know the details of these, I'm just telling you what it says here, I don't know the whole history and the whole science behind this, is the people carrying the menorah were the Biryonim. They were the ones that were fighting, and they were the ones that were captured, and they were schlepping the menorah. And just because they did not have beards does not mean that the Prushim, the Talmidei Chachamim, and the people that preserved the Mesorah of Klal Yisrael living at that time also did not have beards. No, it's very likely that they did have beards. Okay, so this is just one insight into this inyan, looking at the arch of Titus. We have to stop now. I have to finish up. We have to stop now. We'll talk later privately.